Okay, so let's see here. So, okay, so we're doing this, we're digressing a little bit here, talking about, since we're approaching Ein Onshin and Hadin, so I decided that maybe we should look into the sense between Ein Onshin and Hadin. And it turns out the Halichos Olam, who's, he's a Rishon, I think he's a Rishon, because the Beis Yosef wrote a commentary on the Halichos Olam. On the sheet I showed you on the side, one of them is Beis Yosef. Does it say on it even?
Yeah,
that's where Yosef Kara. So the Kolei Olam, so basically it's an old book. It's written in the year 1467. Right? He lived around that, thereabouts. Okay. So basically, it's a very good book. It's like, you know, these modern books like Practical Guides for the Talmud, where they kind of talk about certain halachic Gemara principles, moves the Gemaras make, like those kinds of things. So this is like a Rishon who wrote a book like that. Okay, and he's writing about Kal Vachomer, about Zer Shava, about, you know, all the different types of things that come up in Gemaras. And that his new one, I don't know if the newest version is printed, I don't know when, but I got it when I was in Yeshiva. I don't know, like someone, I don't even know how I knew about it, but whatever. The guys were getting it. And it has a good index. It's a very good index in the back, so you can find almost any, you know, anything. So I just looked, Ein Onshin V'Hadin, and he had it. And he brings down, and these Mefarshim and the notes on the bottom, they bring down all kinds of Rishonim on any topic. So if you ever want, like, if you encounter this type of topic, I didn't think of it until yesterday, but I realized he's the guy to look at. And he was. He brings down sources, and it's good. It's very good. So so the question is let's just review, what is a Kal Vachomer? Okay? Because Ein Onshin V'Hadin means you can't give a guy an onash based upon a Kal Vachomer. Okay, so the basic structure, I guess, of a Kal Vachomer, I guess let's take our Kal Vachomer. Okay, the Kal Vachomer thing is that you have, there's an instance of raping a girl, and there's an instance of killing a person. Now, which is worse? Killing. So now, if you have the halacha that when someone's involved in raping a girl, you're allowed to kill him. That's the kal. Kal is more light. Raping is more light. And killing is chamor. It's more strict. So if in the more lenient crime you could kill the guy, the rodev, certainly in the more stringent crime you could kill the rodev. Okay, so that's called the kal chamor. It's a certain type of logic. Okay? I mean, that's always the question. I mean, the question is, how do you really know? And that's a good point. How do you know that the rape is less than murder? So that could be a svara, first of all. But, I mean, that's kind of... I mean, usually... I mean, this isn't a standard Kal Vachomer. Usually the way you'd establish it is, like, you'd show a halacha that the murder is more strict than rape, halachically. Usually that's the way it goes. You see that the murder is far more because so-and-so applies to it and doesn't apply to rape. So that sets that up as the chomer. And therefore, you see a halacha by the more lenient one, certainly it's going to apply to the more stringent one. Okay, that's usually the way these things work. And then, the way you could knock it out is called a pircha. If you could show me, a pircha means if you could show me that, what I'll show you, that rape has a certain halacha, which murder doesn't have. Right, it's open that this so-and-so halacha applies, certain stringency applies by rape and does apply by murder. So maybe you're not justified in setting up that murder is really more stringent, maybe rape is more stringent. Then I'll show you a precedent if that's the case. And that's a way, it's called a pircha. It's a refutation of a Kal Vachomer. The refutation is if you show me some sort of a basis that you already have, that you see that really the more lenient one has a precedent. If you show me precedent for the opposite, that the lenient one has a stringency, then who's to say? So that undermines the setting them up. But that's kind of the trick in Kal Vachomer, to be able to set them up in this stringency leniency issue. You know? The question is, I guess this is a question we should take up at some point. Is a Kal Vachomer logical? Okay, is, so to speak, I guess this is a funny way to ask it, but would a logician buy it? Okay, is it something which is total pure logic, or is it, so to speak, posited that this is how, that you're allowed to learn the Torah this way? It's like, is it a rule of interpreting the Torah, or is it a logical rule which we just happen to apply to studying the Torah? You follow my question?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's hold off on that. Let's hold off on that question. But that's an important question to ask. Yeah. Oh, besides being logical, let's say it's not logical. It would be, let's say, Gezeirah Shavah. Gezeirah Shavah, for instance, it says the word here, says the word Kicha here, it says the word Kicha here. So since it says, like it says Kicha by buying a field and by buying a woman or whatever. So it's just like Kicha, halacha, so and so, halacha, money, you can buy a field with money, so you can buy a woman with money. But just because it says the same word doesn't mean logically you have a right to just carry things over. But when Hashem wrote the Torah, he wrote it with the assumption that it's given to be learned, that you could derive halachos from the, it's encoded into the writing of the Torah, that those certain things could be derived from Gezeirah Shavah, you know? So, it's not exactly the best example, because Gezeirah Shavah, you're not allowed to make up your own Gezeirah Shavah. Gezeirah Shavah, every Gezeirah Shavah is the same word, is from the Torah. Okay, from Sinai. Kal v'chomer you could do on your own. Okay, but you could say is that God wrote the Torah such that he not only wanted the conclusions which are stated explicitly, he wanted all the conclusions which are learned now through the method of Kal v'chomer. And of course, it's not a crazy rule, but maybe one could have argued with it, but it says the Torah was written that God knew, God set it up in a way that it could be learned using Kal v'chomer, even though it's not a necessarily logical, there is a logic to it, but it doesn't mean that logic itself would necessitate that you say such a rule. Okay? Like, for instance, you could ask, maybe the reason why you could kill the rapist is because of something particular about rape. Maybe if you don't kill rapists, then you're going to have a society full of rapists and whatever. Maybe there's some reason why the Torah wants to go after rapists. I don't know why, something. How do you know? You could just say, since this is more stringent, therefore it has to be stringent in every single regard. I mean, it doesn't necessarily follow. I mean, it's true, there is a stringency, but does that necessarily logically warrant saying that that's it? You could just extend things like that? You could say, look, the Torah, not intrinsically, but the Torah says that you have a right to do that. So it's, yeah. I mean, how if, right, it, yeah. If you say that it's pure logic, the question is how could you limit it and say it doesn't apply by option? Right? How does it not apply? You can't use that to give a punishment. But let's leave that question. It's not, anyways, it's hard to understand. Okay, fine. So, so that's a kal v'chomer, and again, a pircha of a kal v'chomer is a rejection. The way you reject it is, again, by showing precedent that the thing which you considered lenient actually has a different stringency, and thereby you undermine the basis of the kal v'chomer, that this one is lenient and this one is stringent. And then the whole thing falls apart. Okay? Fine. So now the principle is that you can't, in order to punish somebody, first of all, the Torah has to explicitly warn you, it's called Azhara, has to warn you that you're not allowed to do this so-and-so action. And then secondly, the Torah has to explicitly state that you get so-and-so punishment if you violate. Okay, not forget explicitly. The Torah has to tell you that it's prohibited, and the Torah has to tell you that you get a punishment if you violate. So there's a principle, though, ein mashira min hadin ve'ein onsha min hadin. Means you can't warn someone based upon a kal v'chomer, and you can't punish someone based on a kal v'chomer. So which means if the Torah doesn't openly state that this so and so is forbidden, or doesn't openly state that so and so gets punished, so then the only way you know it is because of a kal v'chomer. So then that doesn't work. You can't punish someone purely based on a kal v'chomer. And the question is, why not? And if kal v'chomer is kal v'chomer, which is a certain rule, whichever possibility we chose, you know, it's a rule in the Torah. It's a principle which is the Torah. So what, you just can't do it by onshem? Why not? Okay? Why not? What's the sense to that? So you could say, look, that's it. Turns out it's until it's learned now, because the way the Gemara learns it out, it's in Makos, is because it says, is a person who sleeps with his sister from his father, his half-sister from his father, or his half-sister from his mother, gets garis. Okay? Because, then the Torah says, she is your sister. It's an extra, she is your sister. Of course, so you don't say that. So why does that the Torah say? Why does it repeat that? So they say, it's teaching you that your full sister, you get garis for. She's not just your half-sister, but you get garis for your full sister. Again, the Torah explicitly says, for your half-sister from your father, or half-sister from your mother. Okay, I mean, you share a father or you share a mother with her. But it doesn't say openly, your full sister. You share both. So the Gemara says, So achoso is teaching, the extra word is teaching you that you get karis for that also. So says, but isn't that a kal chomer? Of course, if you get karis for a half sister, then certainly you get karis for a full sister. So it says, it's teaching you that ein onshem adam. Okay, it goes out of its way to tell you chayiv there, to teach you that that you can't ein onshem adam. Okay, so that's how it learns it out. So the Torah writes that you get karis for a sister, if they don't have to, it teaches you that you can't learn out kal chomer. You can't use kal chomer to teach you onash. Fine. So the alichas olam. This is in the fourth Shar, Shar Revi'i. In mine, I don't know, what page is it in that one? 50? Okay, in mine, it's on the new one, it's on page Kufyud Tas. Mine breaks it up into like Sifim, so it's Sifyud Beis in Shar Revi'i. So I don't know, whatever, you have to find it. Try to find it. But it's online, you can find it on HebrewBooks.org, Galich HaSalam. Okay, it's in Perak Shani, Sharavi, Perak Shani, Sifya Beis. Okay, Kaimalan, Ein, Asir, Ein, Hashem, Adin, Aplit, Yibi, Kama, Duchtin, Pirish, Ein, Lamedim, Asara, Ve'onesh, Midin, Kal, V'chomer. Okay, Ve'atam. And the reason is as follows. And they say on the bottom that this is in the Kole HaRamban, Mimosa. I don't know who that is. I don't know if that's the Ramban. I don't know. It just says it's Ramban. I don't know what this book is. There's a book called Kole HaRamban, Mosa, maybe it's the publishing house, or I don't know. But whatever. So they say it's Ramban, unless it's someone else named Ramban Mimosa. I don't think so, but fine. So this is the reason. Kavachomer, you could do with your own svara. So a person is able to learn out a kavachomer. You don't see it?
I'm not sure exactly
where. Oh, it's on the line. Okay. Yeah. So a person could learn out the kavachomer on his own, just from svara. You don't have to have a mesorah from your rabbi or something that he so-and-so is a place that you're allowed to make kal v'chomer. Again, gzeirah shava, the same word applies in two places. You can't just on your own make one of those up. You have to have a mesorah all the way back to Sinai. But a kal v'chomer is a principle that anyone with their own svaras could apply. And it says, the kivashu masur l'svara, and since it's given over to svara, the person's own svara, v'amim shadim tala, sometimes a person can make a mistake, v'don kal v'chomer precha. And he'll do a kavachomer, which is refutable. Okay, he'll make a bad kavachomer. The lavadaitan, he's not going to realize. He'll go chen on shemadad. Therefore, you can't punish from a kavachomer. Okay? Fine. Okay, it's only Yisr, but not by mammon. Right, by mammonis, it doesn't apply. By mammon. Like, you can make it a chayav of the money, you obligate a guy to pay money for it, just not an onesh. Not a punishment. Not like a physical punishment. Okay? So that's basically what he says. Okay? So what do you guys think? Okay. So Chaim's asking this, well, what do you mean? If you trust the mind, then you say kal v'chomer's work, then they work, and they work in other areas. They should work here. And not. We'll just draw the line and say, not going to apply when it comes to onesh. There's a funny line. Either you accept a person's ability to make kal v'chomer, or you don't. But, which is a good question. I hear the question. But someone could argue, says, yeah, but when it comes to attacking a person, punishing a person, or killing a person, a little more careful. So it's true in general, we trust it. But at the same time, we realize that, you know, a person is only a person. And before we start killing somebody, or before we start punishing a person, we gotta have a guarantee of certainty. There's a quote. It reminded me of a quote I saw from Einstein. He said he's against capital punishment because he thinks that because the person can make mistakes. Sounds similar to this. He says he didn't like the whole idea of capital punishment because it'd be a mistake. And then it turned out you kill a guy based on your mistake. But we don't exactly hold that, right? We don't not hold the capital punishment. We do hold by it. Just saying you can't do a kal v'chomer. Which should present the problem. You know? Good. Okay, Adam's missing good is that we have this whole system of onshin. Right? You punish a guy, we kill people. We kill people based upon evidence, eidos, whatever that is. I mean, and how do you determine whether you should kill the guy or not? So you have him bring him to the court. You have 23 judges, you vote, right, whether or not you think the guy's guilty or not guilty. Now, isn't it possible that, let's say, 20 say he's guilty and 3 say he's not guilty. So obviously there's an argument to say he's not guilty. There are 3 very smart judges that say he's not guilty. So we say, look, we're not going to kill him. Maybe they're right. We don't say that. We allow human judgment. Human judgment. It's not only, you don't only kill people by open shut cases. First of all, there's no such thing as an open shut case. You're always going to rely on the witnesses. Maybe it's a mistake. Right? You never really know. Maybe, and there's a Svaras involved. I mean, it's always going to be Svaras involved. So, how are you arguing? Well, how do you have two guys arguing? You have a certain assessment of the situation, so you can have an argument among the judges. So you see, we use Svara, and we kill a person based upon the human beings deciding whether the guy is really guilty or not. So it's not like we don't hold by Einstein's thing, that we don't trust judges. I mean, maybe we wouldn't trust the judges in America or whatever, but, I mean, Chazal, you know, Chigas Agdola are very choice-select people. We trust to kill people. We do trust them to. So it just doesn't seem to be true what he's saying here, that just only we can't punish based on Kal V'Chomer, because Kal V'Chomer, maybe you guys are making a mistake because it's based on a Svara. But every single case that comes forward, that comes to our attention, there's always going to be some Svaras involved, some human thought and reasoning establishing whether the guy's really a chayv or not. So it seems to be a problem. Also, let's say in Mamon. I mean, this is somewhat of a funny question, but let's say Mamon. So if we're having a monetary, monetary matters, you could use a Kal V'Chomer. So like whether I'm chayev, my animal damages your thing with Shane, whatever. You have certain things. You have a court case in which I'm chayev money to you. I have to pay you because of Kal V'Chomer, right? So I give you the money. Now, let's say then you take that money and you marry a woman with it. Okay? So now it turns out that you're married because it's your money. But if it's a mistake, if the whole thing really shouldn't have been your money in the first place, so then it could turn out that you're married, it's not really yours, and you're marrying a woman mistakenly, and there's really no marriage. And then it could turn out someone could sleep with her, and we could end up killing the person in adultery with her based upon this thing. And if the whole Kal V'Chomer itself was bad in the first place, then it's going to turn out you're going to end up killing someone based upon a mistaken Kal V'Chomer. So even though it's true, it's Ein Onshim Ela Din, but every area could eventuate in Onshim resulting. So a mistaken area of Mamon could end up resulting in Onesh. And there's a thing like that by Zaki Mamre or something like that. Like things, you know, like even if he argues in money, it can end up leading to. There's Gemara to talk things. It's not just. But what I'm saying, if you're just telling me is that you don't trust the human judgment and to make Kal V'Chomers, and you're not going to take someone's life based upon human judgment, you should always have to consider the whole history of how you got there in the first place. Maybe there was some sort of human judgment of Kal V'Chomer that ended up leading to a guy's Misa. So it shouldn't only be Ein Onshim Ela Din, it should be a little more broad than Onshim. But it's not the halacha. You certainly don't say that. Another question I ask is, what would you say with Karis? With Karis. Certain crimes that if you violate them, you get Karis, which is, you get cut off. Which is not clear what it means, but essentially it means God punishes you somehow. Takes away Olam Haba, makes you die early, makes you not have kids, something. So could you learn out that someone's Chayav Kares from a Kal V'Chomer? What would it mean? Well, there are sugyas about whether you're Chayav Kares or not. I mean, the Torah apparently thinks it's important for you to know if a certain crime brings upon Chayav Kares or doesn't. I mean, their effects vis-a-vis, so you want to know, is this crime chayav karis? Like, so this case, the sister, right? What's teaching you? That you got your chayav karis for sleeping with your sister, right? I think it's teaching karis. So, what's it teaching you? What are we worried about? Otherwise, you're going to make a homer and a person's going to make a mistake. Look, God's the one who's going to give you karis. God's not making a mistake. Right? In other words, I can understand this logic if it comes to a court given punishment. But it certainly would seem this whole thing doesn't make sense to apply by a by kares, by a God-given punishment.
So we don't.
No, but we do. The principle applies even by. I mean, that Gemara seems to the very source of it. I think is by kares, and in the Halachos Chol they have a footnote here on the bottom. There's a Tosos They asked us a question on him, on the Lichus Olamim. At least Tosfos in the Chulin, I think, says it definitely does apply.
Applies what about the
no, he's saying Yom Shemendan, even my cars. Even my cars, he said. I mean, it's Tosfos. You could say Tosfos in the Chulin, Kuftas Bach, by Chametz. So even my cars. So you could say Lichus Olamim argues on Tosfos, but. I mean, I think the source, I don't know why they call this, I mean, the source, I think, is Vicaris. The source in Makos is teaching you that you're Chayv Karis for submitting your sister. For us, they're right, I think so. So what's the deal here? And I think the question, maybe Chayv, this is what you're getting at, is like, we're not a system that doubts the human mind. I mean, there are modern, modern schools, modern philosophies that doubt the human mind. But Torah doesn't do that. I mean, we don't hold. I mean, of course, we don't hold by the infallibility of human mind. But the whole system is based on thought. I mean, everything in all is based on thought. If you reject thought, then you don't have anything. And you have to. The premise of any system of thought is the acceptance of the human mind as a tool, which we could trust. It's like unhalachical. It just sounds funny when you hear someone say, "Well, we can't do this thing." All of a sudden, all of our logic falls short when it comes to punishing a guy. So it's not true. You see, every court case is based upon logic. And it's just funny. The whole thing is just sounds. Something sounds funny about it. This is it. Now all of a sudden our mind doesn't work when it comes to honor. You can understand that Einstein was saying that. It's because your average secular judge, I wouldn't necessarily trust him to, I mean, there's an argument to be made that you necessarily trust them to kill people, They're not necessarily perfected people, and so it could be they get their emotions involved. They're not deep thinkers. They're not, But I mean, if you do that, if you don't accept the Besdin, then what do you really have? I mean, the whole system is based upon the Baal Nesorah. Everything, even our old halachos, are passed down from one, or from our judges. I mean, from our top people, passed down generation to generation. If you don't trust them and you don't trust their reasoning, then the whole Torah falls apart. Okay, so I'm thinking similar to what Matt's saying. I just wanted to develop it a little bit more. But let's start like this. Let's start off basically is that I think this that with that original question, is the Kal v'Chomer a purely logical thing, or is it like a so to speak, a Nesora or an axiom that the Torah is given over to be interpreted through Kal v'Chomer? I think it's the latter, okay? Which is not, logic alone would not dictate that it's true. And like we said, because who's to say? I mean, maybe the reason why rape you kill is because of some other reason, I don't know, some other, who knows. A lot of different reasons. You can't just reduce everything to quantities and say, well, this is strict and this is lenient, and therefore, if the thing applies by the lenient, obviously it's going to apply by the strict. Because not everything boils down to strict and lenient. There are qualities. There are different institutions. So just to reduce it like that is a premise that the Torah allows you and was given to be interpreted based upon that type of a logic. As long as you don't find the pircha, as long as you can't show that the lenient is really strict, then right. But it's an axiom, and maybe we could get into more a little bit. But the Torah was written in a way. And God wrote certain halachos, God wrote explicitly, and other halachos God left to be inferred through Kal v'Chomer. Okay? And he said, you have a right to use this method called Kal v'Chomer in order to arrive at certain halachos. He wrote the Torah assuming that man was going to use Kal v'Chomer and Svara in order to arrive at certain conclusions. Now, if he didn't tell us that he wrote the Torah that way, then we wouldn't have a right to draw new conclusions based upon the Kal v'Chomer, because although there is a logic to Kal v'Chomer, there is also, you can argue with it. Okay, but the Torah was written assuming that logic, and assuming that you have a right to make use of that method in arriving at new conclusions. Okay, you with me so far? Okay. So if you say that, I think that now the Gemara learns out. You see, for instance, let's say Achoso. It says, you chayv, you sleep with your half-sister, your mother from your father. Oh, and also your full sister. So what the Torah, what the Gemara's learning from there is that when it came to Onshim, God did not write the Torah that way. If he would have written the Torah that way, he wouldn't have had to say that you chayv for sleeping with your full sister, because he would have been able to derive it. But the contrary, God Onshim, God did not align that. When it came to Onshim, God wrote everything explicitly or in the Masorah. He did not leave Onshim up to man to figure out using Kal Vachomer. He didn't do that. He wrote it explicitly. If there's an Onesh which God wants to exist, then he wrote it. And if he didn't write it, it means he doesn't want it to exist. Okay? Not so well halachos. Other halachos, you'll say, if God didn't write it, he still may want it to exist, because he wanted halachos to be derived through Kal Vachomer. When it comes to Onesh, that's not true. God wrote everything explicitly. It's Ein Onshim Ein Din, and you see that's what it did. Vayachoso. God did not just leave it up to Kal Vachomer. He wrote it explicitly, because then that's a precedent. That Ein Onshim Ein Din. When it comes to Onesh, God, the system of Onshim was given over through Mesorah, through explicit psukim, or through Gezer Shavas or whatever, explicit things from the Mesorah. And God did not leave that up to man's own mind to come up with Onshim. Okay? That's the limud. Now the question is, why? Why not? Why not? That's what the Lichos Solomon is grappling with. Why not? So he's saying, is this a good reason? Because man, in general, because there is the possibility of human error. Okay, there is a possibility of human error. And it may turn out that you're going to systematize an onesh, which God didn't really intend. The guy could make a mistake on his svara and could end up involved creating in the system that so-and-so person gets an onesh, and it's not really true. God didn't really intend that. So since even though the Torah does trust the human mind, but in this instance, you may end up giving onshim, which are not really, so to speak, wanted. Now, you'll say, so then if that's the case, then every onesh, you're going to have that problem. Every time a court sits down, you say, maybe they're making a mistake. But I think that's what Matt said is true, is that the Torah held that you need onshim. Okay? And this is what I think would be a problem with Einstein, is that if you'd have, or an argument, is that the Torah held that if you had a society, a system, which had no enforceability, then you can't have a system. Okay, a system with no enforceability is going to fall apart, because you're going to have lawlessness. So the Torah had to set up, as the method of deterrence, it had to set up a system of punishments. Okay, it had to. We don't want man to judge man, but at the same time, if a society doesn't have a system of punishments, then society is going to fall apart. So the Torah entrusted man of the highest caliber to carry out judgments. And even so, with many checks within the system, right? You have to do. You only kill, like the Gemara says, only once every 7 years or something they kill. It was not a common thing. It was very uncommon. The Bezim is trying to save the guy. But bottom line is the Torah, you need to have Onshim. And how are you going to have Onshim? You can't just have God coming down with a voice every time someone says, yeah, kill him. That's not, the Torah, it's a system given to man. And the Torah set up a system which will allow for Onshim under certain conditions. But now when it came to Kal Vachomer, though, the question is, did God write explicitly Kal Vachomer, all the Onshim, or did God leave some up to human svara? So that, it's very simple. God could just write them all, since there's a possibility of human error. So God basically said that he's not leaving it up to human svara, but he gave it all from the svara. There's no reason why you have to. You can't get by without allowing svara in a court case. And we allow svara in a court case, and we trust human minds, and therefore they said, maybe it's a mistake. Sure, maybe. You may have that, but there's no other option. So I just say, look, maybe human error. That's true, maybe. It's a small chance of human error, but there's no other option. We have to have a society. A society needs to have a system of judges, of capital punishment. And that's necessary. And the minor chance of an error, so what are you going to do about it? But you know, there's no other option. But here there is an option, and that is that God could tell us an axiom that all onshim he's telling us explicitly. And if he didn't tell us explicitly, it means it shouldn't exist. And now, you're not going to have onshim. You're not going to have mistakes. If God would have set up a system which allows for Kal Vachomer, then you would end up having systematized errors, or you may have systematized errors in the Torah. You may have, the halakhic system will say if you do so-and-so a crime, you get killed. Turns out that's not really God wanted, which is possible. And there's a way, so the saying is that God determined that there's no need to apply Kal Vachomer, even though the Torah was given over to be interpreted through Kal Vachomer, not when it comes to onshim. Now, when it comes to onshim, God didn't write the Torah that way. God wrote the Torah when it comes to onshim. He wrote the Torah in a way that it was explicit about everything. In other areas, not. In other areas, he didn't write the Torah that way. See, but I think this only makes sense if you say that the Kal V'Chomer is like an axiom. If you say the Kal V'Chomer is an intrinsically logical thing, that the human mind says this is a clear conclusion, a clear and necessary conclusion, so then even my own shim, if you see this, then it's a clear conclusion that this is what this is the case. So therefore, what are you going to do? It's not rational to doubt your mind if your mind tells you it's a good Kal V'Chomer. Just to say, well, maybe there's a mistake somewhere. So, I mean, that's not, we don't hold by that. And that's why, that's my other question, for instance. Let's say you want to kill a guy, and it turns out that the money with which he married the woman was based upon a Kal V'Chomer. You say, maybe that was a mistake. But you don't have to say, maybe that was a mistake. You have a right to say that your Kal V'Chomers are good. It's not saying is that where it's like radical doubt, and everything, we're always doubting every single thing when it comes to killing people. It's not true. They kill people even though there were judgments which were made along the way, even Kal V'Chomers, which would end up in being necessary to kill this guy. The point is that in the system of Onshim itself, God did not set up Kal V'Chomers to be used in that system. But he wrote all Onshim explicitly. It doesn't mean when it comes to Onshim you have to close your mind and say your mind doesn't work anymore. What I'm saying is, the Lukasom is explaining the reason why it is that the Torah axiomatically didn't write, the Torah didn't write the Torah, Hashem didn't write the Torah that Kal V'Chomers are going to be determined through Kal V'Chomer. The Onshim are determined through Kal V'Chomers. He wrote them all explicitly. Yeah. Well, the Torah goes out of its way. I mean, the precedent for this is by sister. Sister, the Torah didn't have to write. If God wanted only Kal V'Chomers, he could have just written Kal V'Chomer and not said that if you're full sister, you get a curious for. But God did write it in order to show you that he's always writing it. God's going to write it every time by Onshim. He's not leaving it to Kal V'Chomers. So that's the lima. That's how you learn out. That's the general, that's the paradigm. It's always that way. Whenever it comes to Onshim, God did it that way. That's what Rashi says. That's why I think Rashi might be learning this way by us. Because Rashi says, by a Hekesh, because says you can't learn this this Herodiv thing by Kal V'Chomer. Rather, it's from a Hekesh. So Rashi says, because a Hekesh, you can't learn on your own. It has to be Masorah. But Kal V'Chomer, you could, and therefore you can't do it. So it seems like he's, at least it's in line with this Zohar. The problem is not Kal V'Chomer or whatever. The problem is, could you make a mistake or not? If it's a thing which lends itself to your own mistake, then the Torah, but Hekesh is explicit. The Torah wrote the Hekesh, and it's given from a Masorah. So therefore, there's not going to be a mistake there. My main point is not that it's that by Onshim would be systematizing across the board this error versus in a court case, it's only one time. Because still, that's not my main point. Because still, I mean, if you're worried about a mistake, you're worried about a mistake. If not, not. My point is that when it comes to a court case, you don't have a choice but to trust the judge's mind. And we trust the mind. There's no reason why we trust the human mind, and the mind comes to the conclusion. There's no other option. How else you can have a court system? But by Kal V'Chomer, there is another option, which is that God could write things explicitly. And he did. Will he make a mistake? Well, it depends. I mean, if you're worried about a mistake, it's true human life is important, and we are worried about mistakes. There is a certain small chance of a mistake, and we're worried about it. But the question is, what are you going to do about that mistake? So it's a quantitative question, but apparently when it comes to if there's another option by Kal V'Chomer, which is to write explicitly, so that's how it did. I know, but there's a combination of the fact that on the one hand we trust that we're worried about punishing people, that we don't want to just punish people for naught. So a mistake in the area of punishing is going to lend itself to people getting punished wrongly, and it could be that mistake is going to be made. So when it comes to punishments, I mean, when it comes to other areas, like an Isser, so worst comes to worst, you make a mistake, so then the person's going to, something's going to be Isser, and it shouldn't have been Isser. No big deal. But here, it's going to turn out, you're going to end up punishing people. So now you'll say, yeah, but by a court case, you're going to punish the person, and you'll say, you're right, but the court case is no other option here, there is another option. So it's a combination of the fact that by Kal V'Chomer, the Torah could write it explicitly, and the fact that killing is, or Onshim, is a bad thing. Could be, I mean, it seems like for whatever reason, God wanted there to be Kal V'Chomer. So he wanted the Torah to be, for it to be a system which man can use his mind and expand and, under a certain methodology. So God wanted there to be Kal V'Chomer. He didn't want to write every single thing explicitly, for whatever reason. I mean, that's the question why he did or why he didn't. But he wrote that, but it's saying when it came to Onshim, he didn't do that. He left it, exactly. Kal V'Chomer is an axiom that you have a right to draw conclusions based upon a certain type of a quantitative thinking. That you could relegate different halakhic categories to strict and lenient, and then say if something applies by the lenient, it's also implied by the strict. But that's making a move and assuming that it could lend itself to a quantitative analysis. Say, which is worse? Like, if you ask someone, which Waveiro is worse? Say, I don't know which one's worse. They're different. Everything's different. I don't know. They're different things. Don't ask me that question. But Kal Vachomer gives you a right to say, well, I see vis-a-vis Halacha A that this is worse and this is more lenient, and then I could run with that. That's the premise, that the Torah was, you have a right to derive halachos by setting up, under certain guidelines, by setting up categories like that. Torah, again, you could imagine writing a book that's not written to be interpreted that way. So if you get to a particular onesh and you say Kal Vachomer, you'll say, okay, very nice, but so just because it's a case by rape doesn't necessarily mean it's a case by killing. Rape is rape, killing is killing. Aye, killing is worse. Okay, it's worse, but it doesn't mean vis-a-vis a rode, if it's necessarily going to be worse, there are different factors. So you don't have a right. The Torah wasn't, unless the Torah told you that you have a right to do things for Kal Vachomer, but the Yom Shem Torah didn't tell you that. What about by Kares? Yeah, I think a simple answer. The simple answer is that, has everyone noticed this, is that it's the system of onshem. The question is, by where did the Torah, maybe this is your guess, like where did the Torah, yeah, exactly. Kares is an onash. So the Torah, question is, where did the Torah apply Kal Vachomer? Okay, it's an axiom, it's a system of Kal Vachomer. And Torah did not apply it by onshem. Okay, now onshem is a class. Kares is one of many onshem. Okay, so it's not like, it's already applied by here and here and here and every single case, every single halacha, it goes by classes, categories. So onshem, karis comes under onshem. So when it comes to onshem, God wrote all the onshem explicitly. So now it's true, if karis were the only onesh, then God would have, maybe, you know, you could argue, should have, wouldn't, you know, you'd allow Kal Vachomers. But it's part of a larger class, and the class is otherwise you have to say, ein onshem in adin chutz mei karis. But that's not a good system. The system of Kal Vachomer has a range of applicability. And it's limited, it's inapplicable to the system of onshem, and Kares comes in onesh also. So even though the Tama Dover, so to speak, the reason for it doesn't necessarily apply by Kares, but it's drawn together with the, if you learn that he's actually worried that we're going to make a mistake and kill somebody, then you'll say by Kares, not worried about that. But if he's explaining the logic of why the Torah systematized Ein Onshem and Adin, so then it's good. Why is this entitled all onshem? So it's a categorical thing. So it's going to move from Kares as well.
You think the paradigm
came from the Torah care? Like, the question is, does the Torah care that it, does the Torah hold that a person is infallible? No. The Torah holds a person making a mistake. Now, is the Torah worried that a person is going to make a second or going to kill someone by accident? Yeah, sort of. I mean, the Torah doesn't want to kill people by accident. The Torah has all kinds of check valves to make sure we don't just kill people. And the Torah is worried about that. But just because you're worried about that doesn't mean you could just get rid of the whole system of capital punishment. There's different factors to consider. So we don't want to have mistakes, but on the other hand, we need a system of onshem. So it's like, that's in God in his wisdom figured out that it's worth it to have the system of capital punishment, even though there will be mistakes. But now when it comes to onesh, there is an option. The question is did God leave it open to Kal Vachomer? Open up the door for errors which would not have been made otherwise, or to just say it's all by Masora. So the thing is, God says it's all by Masora, because this way you won't come to a person making mistakes. And I don't know if we could say this on our own, but this is what I'm saying. You know, I mean, and there's a sense to it. It just, you know, I mean, I don't think someone could say it on his own. It's learned from a limud, and the Torah doesn't do it. You know what I mean? But as he's saying, is that the Torah, God knows how to draw that. These are quantitative questions, you know. I mean, God just drew the lines of where, you know. But it's the premise of the Yom Shem Adin. He's trying to explain it. Right. I mean, the truth is, to really do this, I mean, it would be, you'd have to, I'm not going into full depth about what exactly the logic of a Kal Vachomer is. I mean, I'm talking about it a little bit. And you think about it, and you know, as you encounter Kal Vachomers, if you see Kal Vachomers, you'll see what I'm talking about. They're somewhat funny, and you get a sense that they're not intrinsically logical. It's like it's a certain way of thinking about a problem in which there's a logic to it. But there, you could question that approach. It's like I'd call it like a certain quantitative type of a thinking where you're reducing different qualities to quantitative, to Kal and Chomer. And you're drawing conclusions based upon what's worse, what's more strict and less strict. Whereas you could have a system where everything is different and it doesn't lend itself to that type of thinking. You could say, like an onesh, and Danny, I think this is your point. Like an onesh, you can say is that, look, onshin, whether you give an onesh is based on many, many factors, not only on how strict the crime is, but also whether it's necessary to deter people, whether it's common in the society. I mean, every halacha is based upon millions of different, you know, factors. So to just like say, look, if this has it, then this has to happen. And if this is lenient, then it has it, then this is strict. It's a very simplified way of looking at halacha, I mean, as deriving halacha. So you could just say, you can't do that. God told you the halachas, and he told you where things apply. You can't outsmart the system and figure out and say, I know why this has it. This is lenient and this is strict. And the different things are different. Not everything's lenient and strict. But the Torah, and I think that's true, logically, that type of thinking would undermine Kal Chomers. But the premise is that God wrote the Torah in a way that you're not going to be led astray if you follow the rules of Kal Chomer. He set up a system of Kal Chomer and their rules, and the conclusions which will be reached through those rules are conclusions which God wants, and God set up the Torah to be Nidrash through the Kal Chomers, just like he set it up to be learned now through all the other Yigal Midas. He wrote the Torah in a way that it's encoded in the text of the Torah, and what the Torah did write are other things that the Torah didn't write but met and are arrived at through human thought. And it's amazing how the Torah did that. I mean, it's hard to understand. It seems like too smart to be able to have you write a book like that. You know, it's like God wrote it in a way that all the conclusions could be arrived at through explicitly or through following a very strict set of principles according to, you know, a whole system. But that's how God wrote the Torah. That's the Yom Midrashton, just one. Good? Okay, so I guess what we have for next time. I think tomorrow, again, I'm not going to be giving shir. I have a meeting. But I guess for Wednesday, hopefully we should, we have to answer what's the final idea in the Gemara of why, of Ein Moshiach, you know, of why, what's the source for Rodef, the Hekesh? You know, what's the new idea? And is it the same idea? Is it a new idea? And then how, whether Ein Onshin and then applies here. I don't know necessarily that this is, we have to go with this. I mean, this is like, this is in a certain sense, you could call this like philosophy. You know, I don't know if I'd exactly call what we're doing now. The same Shemin Adem is halacha, strict halacha. Halachically, just saying Shemin Adem. The Solomon is suggesting philosophically why it is the Torah positive that. But in a certain sense, that's a lima, it's a lima, and that's it. It's, you know, it's like philosophically why the Torah didn't set it up. But halachically, it's Torah, halachom is an axiom, and it applies here, it doesn't apply here. So it doesn't. What we say here doesn't necessarily impact the Havmin Askan and Agamara. Havmin Askan is a halachic question about whether we apply an Onshin Adin here or not. So I don't know if we necessarily want to get all philosophical in trying to define the Gemara. I just thought it's a good digression. It's really interesting. And, you know. Okay.